Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It's an hour of musical surprises. Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann were a hit songwriting team in the 60s, but even if you know their names, you may be surprised at the sheer range of famous songs they wrote. We'll hear from them later. We've also got live music from Jessica Lee Mayfield, whose albums have been squarely in the alt-country camp until now. She unveils a much darker, harder rock sound on her new record, and you'll hear that in her band's live set. And to begin, here's a musical story so surprising that many of us thought at first it must have been a joke. I'm talking about Rocky the Musical. Now, when I first read that the film Rocky was going to be made into a musical in Germany, I had to double-check the date to make sure it wasn't April 1st. But before you could say, "Yo, Adrian," it became evident that the producers were serious about it. So they hired some serious musical talent and one of America's hottest young theater directors. And now, like Rocky himself, this musical underdog is a big hit. On Broadway, at the Winter Garden Theater to be precise, Alex Timbers is the director of Rocky the Musical. He joins me here in the Soundcheck studio. Hi, Alex.
Thanks so much for having me.
When you were first approached about this, what did you think? I mean, it's a story of an underdog. Did you think you were taking on an underdog here?
Well, actually, to back up even further, when I heard Rocky as a musical, I thought this was a crazy idea. I mean, I think most people involved with the show had that same sort of reaction. And, you know, you sort of think, well, I don't know, this is what musical theater doesn't do well. It's like sports and, you know, and having, you know, and sort of like butch guys on stage singing, like, what is that? But then I actually saw a reading of the show, and I was blown away by the emotionality, because what you forget is that it's actually a love story with boxing as a backdrop. And so as soon as you know, I sort of locked into that underdog story, and that, you know, it's such a human, such an American story, so relatable, that you see how musical theater can do that well. And then the trick was figuring, well, how can musical theater do boxing well? Mm. And that was a real challenge.
Had you seen the film?
I hadn't seen the film beforehand.
I mean, you would have been like a little kid when that movie first came out.
It was before I was born, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not even a little kid. You've seen it now.
I've seen it now, yeah. You know, I think as a director, you don't want to emulate the film too much. You don't want it to feel like a museum piece, right?
Yeah.
So you sort of get into the script as a dramatic text, and you start designing it. And then you look at the film because you don't want to deny all the amazing stuff in there. But it's sort of an amalgam. It feels true to the film, but feels also very original on stage, I think, I hope.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that people cannot stop talking about is the final scene.
Oh, cool.
Where this, like, this coup de théâtre that you guys pull off. Can you, without, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but can you sort of explain what happens?
Yeah, you know, the thought was that if you as an audience member are really loving the story of Rocky and Adrian, how cool would it be to suddenly enter the narrative in the final 20 minutes? And so when we get to that final fight between Rocky and Apollo, we go from what we consider sort of in a proscenium setup where you're watching the stage from a fixed position, and we go to in the round. We get some of the audience up on stage, push the ring out into the middle of the audience, drop down a jumbotron, and suddenly you're watching the ring is, you know, basically in your lap, and we have live video going, and it sort of feels like you're really at a sporting arena.
Right. You're at a boxing match, and you're sitting in the round or in the square, as the case may be.
And, exactly.
And, you know, in the original cast recording for Rocky the Musical, which comes out on May 27th, we actually get to hear some of the action during this final fight.
Oh, cool.
We hear a couple of announcers who are, like, looking down on the action and kind of talking us through it. The album comes out on May 27th. Here's a little bit.
Politics, left lands, right to Rocky's jaw, and now both men start really going at it. Standing toe to toe and exchanging punch after punch. Only seconds left in the fight. And now Balboa is taunting the champion, daring him to throw his best punch. An exchange of lefts and rights from Apollo that would have knocked out anyone else. But Rocky continues to shake them off and battle back, countering the champ punches blow for blow. I've never seen anything like it. Nobody has.
The Fight is the name of that track from the original cast recording for Rocky the Musical, featuring a score by Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty, but incorporating the Bill Conti song.
Absolutely,
gonna fly
yeah.
Now. The director, Alex Timbers, is with me here on Soundcheck. And you talk about, you know, moving the set out and moving the audience, dropping the Jumbotron as if, yeah, it's just another day at the office.
Yeah, of course. You know, you spend about a year pre-visualizing the whole thing. So we have a little sort of computer animated graphics that we figure out exactly how long it'll take to do this and how long it'll take to do that. Of course, when you get in the theater, everything changes immediately.
Now it becomes, yeah. It's no longer computer graphics. Now you have to make it real.
Yeah, and then you figure out that a 70-year-old patron actually takes, 20 seconds to go up a stairwell, instead of, 15 or whatever.
Right,
and then you figure things out.
Now, is it true that the boxing ring portion of the stage, the movement of that stage, that this was inspired by a Nine Inch Nails concert?
Yeah. Well, I had seen this this concert video of the With Teeth tour, and they had a grid, the structure that holds all the lighting above, and it would lower and raise and tip and tilt. And we had this problem where we there's a fight at the beginning, there's a fight at the end, there's not a fight in between, and so you have this ring that has to disappear for most of the show. And we couldn't sink it into the floor. It's too big to get on the ring. I didn't want it to break apart, because you want the integrity of the ring to feel mm-hmm. real. This is an authentic, gritty, masculine show. And so we decided to pick it up and fly it and suck it up into the grid. And it comes down and can tilt and become the bottom of the ring can become a projection surface or can become the roof of different scenes. It's really interesting, the things it can do.
Yeah. And the audience has become part of the concept. I mean, obviously in Rocky, the audience is, by the end, they're the audience at a fight.
Yeah.
And in your other production, which is currently running, Here Lies Love, based on the David Byrne Fatboy Slim album, mm-hmm. the audience is even more involved.
Yeah, well, this is a show about another historical figure. It's about Imelda Marcos and her reign over the Philippines. But it's not done in a camp way. It's not
right.
about the shoes. And what's interesting about it is there's no dialogue throughout. It's just these sort of club songs back to back. And the audience stands for the duration of the show while the performers are on platforms and levels all around them. And there are 22 channels of video. It feels like a club experience. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to cast the audience as a participant in the drama, so that when Marcos is having his rallies, you're there cheering on the dictator.
Mm-hmm.
When Benigno Aquino is shot, you actually join his funeral procession. So you are it's not quite like Sleep No More, where you move from room to room. I mean, you are in one space, but you are cast as a role in the show.
Right. And it's, in the early days, at least, when David Byrne was writing the piece, mm-hmm. he referred to it as a disco opera and a dance party. I mean, you're talking about the audience standing, but a lot of people are dancing.
Oh, yeah. Throughout, I mean, it is this club music, and we do try to, we try to emulate the things that will get you moving, the sense of anonymity, and we have I'm sure the busiest subwoofer is off Broadway.
So now that show, Here Lies Love, is at the Public Theater with music from David Byrne and Fatboy Slim and a cast of thousands, it seems. Let's hear a little bit from the original cast recording of that show. This song's called Dancing Together.
Golf course and flowers, statues and stables. Together, dancing, oh, as if in a dream.
Dancing Together is the name of the song from Here Lies Love, music by David Byrne with Fatboy Slim, directed by Alex Timbers. It's up at the Public Theater. And as we're sitting here in the Soundcheck studio, Alex, you were saying you haven't even heard that verse before. So, I mean, this is a show that's gone through several kind of iterations over the course of the last couple of years.
Yeah, it started out as this double CD, and when we made the theatrical version of it, probably about a third of the songs were cut and a third new songs were added, and then a lot of the songs were condensed and tweaked, to form more theatrical forms, because some of the pop songs are long. So yeah, and that last verse, it's not in the show. It's great, only on the album. It's terrific.
Now, it strikes me that, the story of Imelda Marcos in Here Lies Love, this disco opera by David Byrne, when he first started talking about it, it sounded as implausible as turning Rocky into a musical, you know? But in both of them, there's this kind of emotional undercurrent that actually brings you through the story. For you, did you make that connection? Was that...
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, I think with a musical, the key is that, is that emotional relationship you have to... I mean, it can't just be like a movie where something looks, where sometimes it doesn't have emotional... And it just looks really cool and it's a fun sensory experience. With a musical, it's got to have a strong emotional line, even if it seems gussied up in this way that's just, in unconventional and fun,
Well, in both shows, in Rocky the Musical and in Here Lies Love, we've talked about the audience participation, which is ramped up to 11 in the in Here Lies Love. What is it? Is there something in your background, in your experience as a theater goer or a concert goer that got you thinking about involving the audience that way?
I don't know. I just feel like it's a little bit of a part of what today is, where you can vote on American Idol and change the experience of what you're having. You have an iPad. Everything feels responsive to your touch. And I think that entertainment, particularly theater, where you are live there, of course you should be a part of the outcome of the event. I'm someone who does not actually like audience participation. So I don't like being dragged up on stage and humiliated or being asked questions. So, all of this stuff is done through the lens of no one's ever singled out or made to feel like they have to do something they don't. I never want the audience to feel like if they don't want to cheer Rocky on or if they don't want to dance with Imelda that they're failing in any way. You can also just sit in the corner and watch happily. That to me is a rule of whenever I'm doing this stuff.
So do you vote for American Idol? Are you a pop culture junkie?
I do love pop culture. I don't watch American Idol. But that would be the distinction.
Yeah. But the idea of theater as a part of pop culture, that certainly was the case in the 19-teens, perhaps to the 1950s or 60s.
Yeah.
Now it seems to be something off to the side. Are you deliberately attempting to make that connection again?
I think you're right. I think there's a gulf between popular culture and musical theater. Musical theater feels irrelevant. I think theater in general feels irrelevant to, the sort of the larger cultural dialogue in America. And to me, I love theater. And so I feel I'm sort of an activist for it. And to me, drawing on the kind of visuals and music and comedy you see in a mainstream film or a music video, to me feels important when I'm doing a play.
And so you're not just doing plays. I mean, you've done some film and TV projects. Mm-hmm. We've talked on Soundcheck in the past about Mozart in the Jungle.
Oh, really?
Going all the way back to the original book.
Oh, terrific.
And so you're directing that that Amazon original TV series.
Well, I'm one of the co-writers of it. It just started the pilot's been out. And, the writing process for the season just began on Monday, so it's very exciting. It's going to shoot here in New York.
And is that is that a completely different animal from working on Broadway or even off Broadway?
So far, I'm completely new to this, so I'm an innocent, but so far it seems completely different. But it's fun, It's also all this stuff is story and emotion based.
Yeah. Is there more film, more TV in the future for you? You think?
I'm not sure. I mean, I live in New York, so Broadway is the Broadway and off Broadway. It's my home.
Yeah. And so one of your other projects, Up Here, musical with with Bobby Lopez, Robert Lopez, and Kristen Anderson Lopez, huge hit with the musical, the music in Frozen.
Yes.
And we know Bobby from his work with Book of Mormon as well and Avenue Q. So what is Up Here?
Up Here's great. I mean, you know, and the success that these guys have had is, you know, we were talking about this right before. I mean, it could not happen to nicer people, which is always like a wonderful, happy karmic thing in the world. But Up Here is a show we've been working on for 7 years, which means that he's probably and she's probably been working on it for 9-10 years, you know. It's a romantic comedy, a boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back, but with a big conceptual gloss over it, a big sort of almost Cirque gloss over it. And it reminds me kind of a 70s Woody Allen film, you know, where there's something very intimate going on, but also something epic at the same time.
And when do we see that?
That's next summer in La Jolla in California.
All right. In the meantime, though, plenty of opportunities to see Alex Timber's work. Rocky the Musical has an open-ended run at the Winter Garden Theater, and Here Lies Love, with music by David Byrne and Fatboy Slim, is at the Public Theater as well. Original cast recording for Rocky the Musical comes out on May 27th. Alex, great having you with us today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Up next, after starting her career with a rootsy sound, Jessica Lee Mayfield talks about the hard-edged new direction she's exploring on her new record. And she'll play live in our studio. Later, I'll profile another great early electronic album of the 70s and 80s. This is Soundcheck.